Blog Talk Radio.
You can dig all day and never find the root. You're gonna get dirty, child, digging for the root. If you're looking for an answer, what's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love, it must be love. Look for love, it must be love. Is a sin. There's no one who can fix it. It's forgiveness in the end. Look for love. It must be love. Look for love. It must be love. What's wrong with the truth? Keep digging, child, looking for the root. Look for love. It must be love. Look for love. It must be love. It must be love. Look for love. Look for love.
Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Sometimes I think about the things you have done for me. How you washed away all my sins, set my spirit free. Then I look back on my life. I haven't always done right. Still your goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. I believe I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. When I thought about giving up, you set trust in me. If you hold on and faint now, like I'm gonna be. So I believe I'll run on, see what the end's gonna be. Hallelujah, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings, your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Guess I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. Hallelujah, too close to the mirror to see what you see. While you shower down your blessings on me. Too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror, too close to the mirror to see what you see in me.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a new Bible study of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We thank God for you being in the building today. We thank God for all of you who are on the line, those of you who are listening over the internet, those of you who are listening and will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. Our service starts each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services there. Of course, you know that we have long been doing in-person service, and you have always heard me say that you are invited to come. It is September the 12th, 2023, and it is the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour that you're listening to now. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have tuned in tonight. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. There you will find the call-in number each week for the Bible study. That call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can interact with me on the Bible study tonight. And of course, there on the Facebook page, you'll also find the web link. If you would like to just click on that link and listen to the Bible study, or if you miss any Bible study during the course of the year, you can always go back to the Facebook page, the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, and find the Bible study that you would like to hear. Click on that link and it will take you directly to that Bible study. Also on the Facebook page, you're able to see our Sunday morning service. As I said earlier, we do start at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can click on Facebook Live and you can watch the First Baptist of Holly Springs Sunday morning service. We invite you to do so. Those of you particularly who are out of the area, who are not able to come to First Baptist, you can watch our Sunday morning service there. Those of you who are in the area, of course, we invite you to come in person and be a part of the worship service of First Baptist. We want to thank God for the ushers of First Baptist. We had a wonderful time last Sunday as we celebrated the usher anniversary at First Baptist. Thank God for the doorkeepers of the house. We thank God for all of you who were part of that Bible worship service last Sunday. I want to thank the male chorus and our musicians as well. And don't forget, on the 20th of this month, we will be the guest at Oak City Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's on a Wednesday night. on the 20th. On a Wednesday night, that program starts at 7 p.m. We invite you to come and be with us at Oak City as we start their revival on that Wednesday night. I will be preaching. The male chorus will be singing. Congregation will be there, and we intend on having a wonderful time with the people of Oak City over in Raleigh. So come and be with us on the 20th at 7 p.m. Thank God for all of you who are on the line. As I said earlier, those of you who are listening over the internet, we thank God for you as well. Those of you who have been supporters of First Baptist. Now, there are four ways in which you can support the house of God. You can come to church, which is obvious. You can come and bring your tithes and your offering. Or you can stop by between the hour of 10 and 11:30 and drop off your contributions to the house of God. Or you can mail them into the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address. You can always mail your contributions into the church. Then, of course, you can do so by Cash App. The Cash App is $ and the letters FBCHS. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App, and you can support the house of God through the Cash App. We want to thank God for those of you who have already supported and who continue to support First Baptist. We could not do it without you. If you have not, we urge you to do so. If you are a member or a non-member, you would like to support a church, and you can do so at First Baptist. You can simply use the Cash App, or you can mail your contributions in, or, of course, as I said before, you can come and be a part of the service of First Baptist. Stay in touch with us so that we can stay in touch with you. We're in prayer for those who are on our sick list, those who are going through, those who are in the hospital, those who are in the rest home, those who are locked behind prison bars. I always say that they're locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. The Lord is able and willing to go beyond prison bars to touch those who find themselves incarcerated. So we pray for those who find themselves in whatever position or condition that they find themselves in. Therefore, by the grace of God, it could be you or it could be me. Let us stay in prayer for those people as well. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank you for those who will participate in this Bible study tonight. We pray, God, that as we go through your word, God, that you will give us understanding and clarity that we may know what thus saith the Lord. Open our hearts and minds and make us receptive to our lesson tonight, that we may go out and tell a dying world that we serve a live and living God. God, we bless your name tonight. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you have looked at the Facebook page during the course of the day, you will see the title of our lesson tonight. It's called 70 times 7. 70 times 7. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we were in the book of Matthew. We're in the book of Matthew tonight as well. We're in Matthew 18 tonight. Matthew 18 tonight, starting in verse 21. But if you remember, a few weeks ago, we were in Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we were talking about retribution. I think the name of that lesson was called An Eye for an Eye, Tooth for a Tooth. And we were talking about restitution. We were talking about how people want to get even with other folk. And we talked about how the Bible says that we should turn the other cheek and we should have forgiveness for those who are against us, to have forgiveness in our hearts and to have forgiveness in our homes, to have forgiveness in the church, just to have forgiveness in our soul. We must learn how to forgive others as God has forgiven us. We talked about how Jesus did not hold it against those who had sinned against him. He did not resist the evildoers, for he knew that he was here for a higher purpose. And we also talked about whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. Our lesson tonight is similar to that because we're talking again about being equally loving and forgiving toward one another. It is important for children of God to understand that we must have a forgiving heart. It is difficult for us to understand that because we find forgiveness difficult. We find forgiveness both difficult to receive and to give. However, it is also an urgent word because receiving and giving forgiveness is central to our faith. Our lesson tonight deals with the very same thing, forgiveness, and how forgiveness must be in the heart of every child of God. We're in the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter of Matthew. We're going to start in verse 21. It's a very old and familiar passage of scripture, but I want to break it down tonight so that we will have a better understanding of what the scripture is saying to us for us to receive the forgiveness and to give forgiveness to others. Now, we must remember that God has forgiven us, and we must pass on this forgiveness to others as we meet them. Okay, in verse 21, it says, then Peter came to him, talking about Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus told the parable of the unforgiving servant after Peter asked his question. This question may have been prompted by Jesus' previous teaching on what to do when we see a fellow Christian commit a sin, most probably a sin against you. Peter's question implies that the one who has sinned against him has repented and asked him to forgive him. In such a case, Peter wants to know how many times he should forgive someone who has repeatedly sinned against him. Repent and ask him to forgive him. You see, the rabbis of that day said a person needs to forgive three times. So Peter may have thought that seven, the perfect number, or the number meaning completeness, should be the goal of Jesus' followers. As we learn from Jesus' answer, Jesus has a larger number in mind. In verse 22, Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times, beloved. Now, let me understand. Let me just explain what he's talking about. He's not saying that you got to forgive somebody 490 times. What he's simply saying is that there should not be a number. In the New James Version, New King James Version, and the New American Standard Version of the Bible, it translates to 70 times 7. It translates to the number meaning 70 times, 190 times. Jesus meant that his followers should not keep count of the number of times they forgive someone. He didn't mean that you have to forgive somebody 490 times, but you should not keep count of the number of times that you have to forgive someone. Instead, they should forgive someone or be eager to forgive someone if they repent and ask you for forgiveness. Now, there are times in our lives when people continue to do things to us. And at some point, you have to address that. But we should not keep count as to how many times someone offends us or how many times someone does something to us. Jesus' answer probably surprised his disciples because Jesus' answer may remind us of the story of Lamech, whose ways were the opposite of the compassion and the mercy of Jesus that was told in the book of Genesis. In Genesis 4 and 23 and 24, we read that Lamech said to his wives, Adullam and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 70 times seven. That's probably where we get the 70 times seven from. But in verse 23, he clears it up. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now here's the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach in this question. Not that you should forgive somebody 490 times, but this is the illustration that he's trying to give to the answer to Peter's question. Jesus told them of the kingdom parable. Jesus and his Father reigns in the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that visibly comes to earth when Jesus comes and begins to preach and to work miracles as the Messiah and the Son of God. The king in the parable should remind us of the king in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, the king. Jesus will indicate the lesson from the parable. To settle accounts means to pay your employees what you owe them for their labor and to collect what your employees might have borrowed from you. Then everyone is even, and a new beginning can be made. The king generously loaned money to help his servants when they asked. Some of his servants obviously took advantage of the king's generosity and borrowed well beyond their ability to ever repay the loan. People will do that to you. If you continue to give and give, people will take advantage of your generosity. But listen to what he said in verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, that means when he began to sit down to try to figure out how much money has this person borrowed from me. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. A gold talent at that time weighed about 75 pounds or 33 kilograms. Therefore, a man owed the king 10,000 talents or 10,000 very large bags of gold. As the writing of this goes in the days of Jesus, that would be well over $1 million, an incredible amount of money to be loaned by a generous and wealthy king. We learn something about the character of the man when we think about how much he borrowed, and we also might wonder why he would even borrow such a large amount. Well, he took advantage. He saw that the king was, or the man that he worked for, was willing to loan him money. And so he kept borrowing and kept borrowing. What was his real need? What did he really need with all of that money? But then in verse 25, but so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Probably having squandered this money, all of this money, the servant could not repay his master the 750,000 pounds of gold, according to the calculations, or over $1 million of today. Therefore, in compliance with the Old Testament law and the Roman law, the master had every right to resolve and sell the slave and his family and his property to repay the debt. It is unlikely that the master would ever recover his immense loss, even from the sale. But he had every right to do that, because this man owed him an increasingly and incredibly amount of money. So he had every right at that time, you know, back in those days, they would do that. He had every right to sell him and his family and his property to get his money back. But then in verse 26, it says, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, patience with me, and I will repay thee. The servant begged his master for patience, and owing so much, this may not have been the first time the servant may have asked his master for a little more time to repay him for a little bit more money. The servant made a foolish promise when so much that he could not pay him back. He knew he would never be able to pay him back. They both knew that the servant could never repay him the amount of money that he really owed. But then the Lord of the servant was moved and had compassion. In other words, he saw that the man repented. He saw that the man understood that he was in trouble. And so the Bible said he loosed him and forgave him of his debt. The master, or the king, representing the glorious Lord, or the one that gave him the money, that generous man, was a merciful man. So he showed compassion to that servant and his family by doing far more than the servant requested. He canceled his debt. That's wonderful. Which was the same as telling the servant, your debt is paid in full. I have paid your debt to me out of my own pocket. What you could not do, I can do, and I will do. I will pay the amount of money that you owe me out of my own. In other words, I'm going to pay myself. Then the king loosed him and told him he could go his way. Now look at the contrast of this parable. This same man who owed the generous king the money, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, which was a fraction, a very small fraction of what he owed the king. 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Here's a man who has just been loosed from over $1 million debt, and he goes to a fellow servant who owes him little or nothing. And the Bible said he put hands on him. That means he began to beat him, began to, you know, work on him. Say, pay me what thou owest me. This servant did not have compassion. He did not learn compassion. He did not learn mercy from the example that he had just received. Instead, he was angry. He was violent. He was violent and greedy, selfish, had an unforgiving spirit. This unforgiving spirit moved on him to grab and choke the fella who owed him a very little by compassion and a very little by comparison to what he owed the master and what his master had canceled when he forgave him of the debt he owed him. He refused to grant his fellow servant the same mercy that his master had shown him. He did not sow the same compassion and forgiveness that he had reaped from his king. So in verse 29 it says, and this fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all, just as he had done when he asked the king for patience. His fellow servant asked him for the same patience, but the exact same words. But the unforgiving servant did not have the virtue of patience or compassion or generosity or forgiveness. The servant could have eventually paid the little that he owed, unless the unforgiving servant had totally squandered all of his money. He could have easily canceled the debt of this fellow, but he was greedy and he was weak. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith to practicing nothing but grief and nothing but greed. The unforgiving servant obviously owed money, which led him to take undue advantage of the generosity of the compassionate king. But violently he attacked his fellow servant who owed him so little and who have greatly benefited from the compassion and his mercy. This man owed him, he could have easily paid off. As Paul wrote to Timothy, because of the love of money, forgiven servant will soon be pierced with many griefs. In verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. The forgiven servant did worse than what the king chose not to do unto him. He asked for patience. The king had resolved to sell the man and his family into the slavery, which would not be as bad as sending him to prison. The king had the right to do that, for he was the king and the master. The forgiven man thought he could use the legal means to throw this fellow servant into prison, where the man could not serve his master or even work to pay off his debt. The burden of repaying the debt would fall on his more impoverished family. However, the unforgiven servant made a big mistake when he threw the servant into prison, thereby depriving the king of his service. As the man would soon learn, loving money more than loving God always leads to some unreasonable decision and some painful experiences and some internal consequences. So now, when in verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that had been done. And then the forgiven servant had either broadcast his good fortune of forgiveness to his master and his servant. In other words, he bragged about the fact that he had gotten away with owing so much money, but then he turned around and did the exact opposite. So the master became outraged when he heard about the unforgiven servant, how he had shamefully treated his fellow servant, how he had physically abused him and thrown him into prison for such a small amount rather than to show him the patience and the forgiveness that he had received from him himself. So they told the master all that had happened. And when the Lord, after that he had heard, called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, verse 32, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all thy debt because thou desirest me. For the first time, we hear of the servant being called wicked. He was wicked to have borrowed so much money without the hope of ever being able to repay the generous master all that he had borrowed. But he was even more wicked for attacking his fellow servant and choking him, and for not showing the same compassion and forgiveness that he himself had just received. He was wicked because he would not forgive his fellow servant. He wouldn't forgive him his debt or patiently give him more time to repay the debt. Both would have been generous. He was wicked to treat his fellow servant the exact opposite of the way he had been treated. So the generous king had done far more for the forgiven servant that he had requested. Then he canceled the debt and marked it paid in full. The king rightfully expected the forgiven servant to do the same thing, to forgive others, because he had been forgiven. So in verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? If we are to total all our sins against God and all of our sins against others, our debts, we could never make restitution for all the pain and all the suffering we have inflicted because of our sin. Our only hope is the merciful forgiveness of God. And when Jesus suffered and died in our place, by grace through faith in Jesus, God canceled our debt and marked it paid in full by Jesus. Therefore, shouldn't we have mercy on our fellow Christians? Indeed, forgiveness toward all that have come to us. Repent of their sins and ask us to forgive them. Shouldn't we have the forgiveness in our heart to forgive them? We can be examples of compassion. We can be examples of mercy and forgiveness, even as the king is in this parable. We can be examples of compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The master or the king expressed justifiable anger against the wicked, unforgiving servant who had shown his wickedness by the way he had treated his fellow servant. He was sent to prison, not just to sit in jail cell, but to be tortured until he repaid all the money that he owed. Because of his wickedness, he now had a debt he could never repay. Even as he had put his fellow servant in prison with a debt that he could pay, he reaped what he had sown. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and 24, he said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man and money." By all these actions throughout the parable, money was the true master of this wicked servant. He loved money and was devoted to serving money more than serving God. So the money that he borrowed, all those pounds of gold, he did because he hated and despised the master and never thought about repaying him. See, it was never in his heart to repay back all that money that he had borrowed. He became an example of how people treat people when you are generous. Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount tells us to have forgiveness. Since we love money so much, we will find ourselves being used by money. After all the master had generously done for him, he did not turn his love for money to loving his master and his fellow servants. And then in our last verse, "So likewise shall thy heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." In conclusion, Jesus told Peter and all those listening the importance of forgiveness. He explained that this is the way his heavenly Father would treat them if he refused to forgive repentant brothers and sisters who came to them and begged them for forgiveness. To refuse to forgive a repentant brother or sister shows an unloving spirit and a lack of compassion, a lack of grace, a lack of openness to obeying Jesus as Lord. An unforgiving spirit indicates that a person is not a true child of God. He's not a true child of his heavenly Father. If he does not love, he does not forgive, if he does not restore, if he has no repentance in his heart, and he's truly not a child of God. And so we must understand today that this grace and this love and forgiveness that we have gotten from our Lord and Savior, we must pass that on to each and every person that we meet. No, Jesus did not mean that you had to forgive someone 490 times, but it simply meant that we should not keep a tally. We should have forgiveness in our hearts. Now, if a person comes to you and tells you, no, I was wrong. I was wrong for what I said. I was wrong for what I did. I was wrong for what I thought. Please forgive me. You have the obligation as a child of God to receive that in the spirit in which it is given and forgive your brother and sister. We have that important task as a child of God to have forgiveness in our hearts. I'm going to open the lines tonight. There may be some who would like to, maybe you've been through that same situation. Maybe you have had people to do the same thing to you. When you have forgiven them, they wouldn't forgive you. Maybe you've gone through the same type of thing in your lifetime. Maybe you have dealt with the same type of situation that this man went through. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to comment. You're not obligated to speak. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Just simply say, I'm listening, and we'll move on to the next caller. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 6615. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine.
I just enjoyed the lesson. I thought it was very, very interesting. And what I got out of it, just something that you said stuck with me, that just as we expect for us to be forgiven, that we should always forgive others, that, mm-hmm. you know, God always forgives us. But sometimes we find it hard when someone has wronged us or maybe, you know, said some ugly things to us or done something really bad to us. We find it hard to forgive them, but in order for God to forgive us, we have to forgive. So mm-hmm. that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And you know, that is the difference between us, talking about Christians, and just folk,
mm-hmm.
just plain regular folk. We have to have that forgiveness in our hearts. That's the difference between mm-hmm. us and everybody. That's what separates the Christian from everyone else. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2314. Trustee Mangum, is that you?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed the lesson. Good mm-hmm. evening. I enjoyed the lesson. I really did. Just have a few little comments here on the lesson here that I learned in the way Jesus, you know, he's saying here that forgiveness not, like you said, limited to a specific number. It is, mm-hmm. should be limitless.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we should always be willing to forgive those that ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that forgiveness is a process. You know, that takes time and effort. It's not always easy, you know, but holding on to like anger and resentment can cause us to like feel unhappy, bitter, and it can even lead to physical health problems.
You're right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hold on to mm-hmm. grudges can only hurt us like in the long run. But in the Lord's Prayer, we say, you know, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I always say that the Lord's Prayer every night before I say my prayer. I really mm-hmm. do. God mm-hmm. forgives us, so therefore we are to forgive one another in
Amen.
The same way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right. That's a great point. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone else.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm here. This is Sherry. What I got from it was that, you know, sometimes we can, I guess, like in our humanly flesh, hurt another person, but we should be willing to forgive no matter what the situation, whether it's like this one, speaking of owing money to someone or just doing something ugly to someone. As you stated, Jesus paid our debt for us. He had mercy on us. So when someone does something wrong to us or hurt our feelings or worse, we should have compassion and mercy on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And that's what I got from it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that people take advantage of people's generosity?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes when you sing so nice, maybe what they consider too nice, they will take advantage and will try it more than once to see if they can keep getting away with it. So yes, I do believe that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Area code 919, last four digits, 1694. Are you on line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone listening.
Good evening, Deacon. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Good.
Yes, sir. A very informative lesson tonight out of so many things a Christian has to keep his mind, his or her mind on. You know, this is one of those little bitty things that is great big,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we definitely have to, you know, keep a hold on to, and, you know that we have to be a forgiving people as Christians, and not just as good human beings, but, you know, that is bigger in Christianity to be a forgiving person, because others have said tonight on the line, I believe Sister Sherry, Sister Magnum said, you know, Christ, you know, paid the debt that we could never pay, you know. And so, you know, you go from and the parable of, you know, like $52,000 to $44, that's like a lie to a murder, you know. I mean, it's so big, but they're both wrong. They're both wrong, but it has to be forgiven. It has to be paid, and mm-hmm. and Christ did it for us, and all the sins that we have had done in our lives, in our lifetime, and probably, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, will make some more sins or unknowingly or knowingly, But yes, great lesson tonight.
All right, thank you. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line? I think that's Deaconess Rainey. Hold on 1 minute. I think he might be. Okay.
Can
Deaconess
you hear
Rainey,
me?
Are you there? Yeah, I can hear you. Go right ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I enjoyed the lesson on tonight. And one thing that I got from it when he was saying the 70 times 7 or 7 times mm-hmm. 70 was mm-hmm. it was like a ongoing thing that you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as being a Christian, you had to continue to forgive like offenses against you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has forgiven us for so many, you know, so much stuff
mm-hmm.
that we've done. And you were asking about if you've asked somebody for forgiveness and then they might have didn't receive it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wanting to speak on that. Yeah, I've done that, and then the person did not, you know, take the forgiveness, and, you know, what else? I mean, you really can't do a whole lot more
Right.
And just continue to pray, you know, for that situation.
You mean you ask someone for forgiveness and they wouldn't forgive? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. I think we've all had that situation at some point in our lives. We have asked someone to forgive us, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't, you know. And like you said before, there's nothing really you can do about it other than you've done your part by asking for forgiveness. There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah.
It's up to them
exactly.
to receive it in the spirit that it was given. It's up to them to forgive. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, that's what separates us from everybody else. It is so important that we know that as Christians. Now, Trustee Mangum, why is it important to have forgiveness in the church?
I think it's because so you can have more harmony, togetherness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it binds people together. It brings about a certain amount of unity to have forgiveness in the house of God. I mean, in a place where things are supposed to be right, you would expect forgiveness in that place. But oftentimes we find the exact opposite in the church. And people are not willing to forgive, but yet they hold on to the fact that they saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet they're not willing to forgive one another. And I often wonder about that. I often wonder, what type of salvation is that? Because it's lacking something. You know, that kind of salvation is lacking forgiveness. And I wonder, can a person truly call themselves saved if they cannot forgive someone, particularly when they come and ask for forgiveness? I'm not just talking about forgiveness in general. I'm talking particularly if someone asks for forgiveness. You know, I wonder why we can't come to someone and say, you know what, I was wrong. I didn't mean to do what I did. I didn't mean to say what I said. I didn't mean to, you know, can you forgive me? I apologize. That's another thing. Why is it so hard? Sister Sherry, why is it so hard for people to apologize, you think?
Well, I believe sometimes maybe they just don't really want to seem wrong, or it's not wrong is not the word that I'm looking for, but maybe they don't want to seem, as the younger people put it, soft. I'm not 100% sure why they won't apologize and say they're sorry.
Yeah, there are people who would never say I'm sorry. They, I guess because they don't think they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they think everything they do is right, so they'll never apologize. They'll never, even though they know they're wrong. Everybody knows they're wrong. They don't think they're wrong. And so they find it very difficult to apologize because they don't want to be considered weak or whatever, as you said before. They don't want to seem like they're soft or whatever. But that causes problems in the house of God. It causes problems in the home. It causes problem in our society today. And that's another question. Deacon Taylor, let me ask you a question. Why is it so important? Why is it so important today, more so than any time in the world history, that we have forgiveness? Why do you think it's more important right now that we have that kind of forgiveness?
Because it's very important that we have forgiveness in this world today, because it seems as if the world is just taking a turn, and there's seems like evil is more prevalent than ever before.
Exactly. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Exactly.
Could you talk about that a little bit?
Evil is more blatantly open than ever before. When you asked that question, the first thing in my mind was the not singling it out, but the church shootings, the mass shootings in the schools, et cetera, et cetera. But the first thing that came on my mind was the church massacres and that's just you know, wow. I mean, you have to be on out of your mind, on drugs, totally controlled by Satan. I mean, to just do these things that you know we regard so holy, so highly and holy, to come on ground, church grounds, holy grounds, and to do such things. But don't get me wrong, I'm not singling any other of the atrocities that's going on in today's life out either. That a lot of things are just because of the internet, because of the telephones and the television and all the mass communications we use, we can see things a lot quicker, faster, and more often than yesteryear, when, you know, it was kind of word of mouth, or it was just isolated to one area or another. Mm-hmm. And that's my thoughts on that, yeah.
Exactly,
we have to have forgiveness.
Yeah, we do. We are living in a climate where people are so sensitive. You can't say the thing about certain things or certain people or certain groups of people. You know, I was listening to a comedian talking the other day. He said that he won't do stand-up comedy anymore because you can't even make a joke about nobody anymore. You can't talk about black folk. You can't talk about white folk. You can't talk about gays. You can't talk about straight people. You can't, because everybody's so sensitive. Everybody takes offense to something that you say. And it seems like there's no love in the world. Like the love has gone, is leaving the world. And nobody's ready to forgive. Nobody's willing to go the extra mile to forgive someone else. And so you're absolutely right. We're living in a world where there seems like there's less and less forgiveness. And it's so important for us as children of God to bring back that understanding. As people of God, it is our duty to show forgiveness to one another and to others. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Yep, Reverend Rogers, one thing
right
I was wanting to say on that, that forgiveness is important today, because if it causes less anxiety
mm-hmm.
and stress and hostility,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a healthier relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Deaconess Rainer, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of study. Thank you for the topic on forgiveness, Lord. We ask that you just come in our hearts, Lord, so that when we come to it, it will come back to our remembrance, Lord. Mm-hmm. Forgive us, Lord, for all our sins, Heavenly Father, and help us to forgive others that bring offense to us, Lord. Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank
Amen.
You all for being on the line tonight. Thank you.
Amen.
We'll see
Amen.
You Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Right. Thank
good
you.
Night. Good evening, everyone.
Everyone, have
good
a
night.
Blessed evening.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Pass me now. Oh, gentle Savior, hear my arms, oh, cry, singing wild on earth. Let me at thy throne of mercy, would you let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief, would you find really kneeling there in deep contrition, kneeling, come on, kneeling there deep contrition. Would you help? Yeah. that my heart believes. We're calling you, say, one more time, we're called.